You pull up the approach plate, and right at the bottom you see something that changes the game. Three rows of minimums, and at the top of that stack, LPV. Decision altitude of 250 feet, visibility requirements barely above a quarter mile. On a GPS approach, that is not the approach world most of us learned on, but it is the world we live in now. And if you have a wide area augmentation system or WAAS-capable GPS and you're not fully utilizing LPV approaches, you're leaving one of the most precise navigation tools available to general aviation pilots sitting on the table. I'm Tower, this is a TE Eyes on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to ride along on the RNAV GPS Runway 18 approach at Gulfport Biloxi International, KGPT, and walk through everything you need to know to fly an LPV approach with confidence. Today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's start at the beginning, because before we brief the plate at KGPT, we need to talk about the RNAV approach family. And there's a lot of confusion out there about exactly what you're flying and what the minimums actually mean when you pull up an RNAV GPS approach plate. You will typically see several rows of minimums: LNAV, LNAVV, NAB. LPV, they sound similar, but they are fundamentally different approaches, and they require different things from your aircraft and your avionics. LNAV, which stands for lateral navigation, is the basic GPS approach. You get lateral guidance from your GPS, and you fly to a minimum descent altitude, not a decision altitude. You level off. You look for the runway. If you do not see it by the missed approach point, you go around. This is roughly equivalent to a non-precision approach. Your minimums are going to be higher, typically in the 400 to 600 foot range above the ground, sometimes more. LNAV, VNAV adds vertical guidance to that lateral track. You still need WAAS to fly it correctly, or you need a barometric vertical navigation system. The key here is that you now have a glide path, but it is advisory. The LNAV-VNAV minimums are lower than pure LNAV, but still not as low as what you can get on a precision-like approach. LP approaches are relatively rare. They used WAAS for tighter lateral accuracy without vertical guidance. You will not see these everywhere, but they show up in terrain environments where a glide path cannot be safely established. And then there is LPV localizer performance with vertical guidance. This is where it gets good. With a certified WAAS receiver, an LPV approach gives you both lateral and vertical guidance that is precise enough to support minimums equivalent to a Category 1 instrument landing system or ILS approach. We are talking decision altitudes as low as 200 feet above the touchdown zone, visibility requirements as low as a quarter mile. Here is the number you need to understand. An ILS, which has been the gold standard of precision approaches for decades, requires expensive ground equipment, constant maintenance, and specific airport infrastructure. An LPV approach requires a WAAS-certified GPS receiver in your aircraft and a very precise satellite navigation signal. The infrastructure lives in space. For general aviation, this is transformative. Airports that could never justify the cost of an ILS installation can now have approach minimums that rival one. Smaller airports, more options, lower minimums, greater access to instrument meteorological conditions, or IMC. That is the promise of LPV, and it has largely been delivered. Now, what does your aircraft need to fly an LPV approach? First and most important, a WAAS GPS receiver that is certified for LPV approaches. WAAS is the Federal Aviation Administration's, or FAA's, ground-based augmentation network that corrects satellite positioning errors in real time. Without WAAS, you are not flying LPV. You are flying LNAV at best. This distinction matters more than people realize. A lot of GPS navigators in older aircraft are not WAAS capable. The Garmin GNS-430, for example, has a WAAS version and a non-WAAS version. They look nearly identical in the cockpit. If your aircraft has a non-WAAS 430, you cannot fly LPV minimums. The plate will not allow it. Your navigator will not show you an LPV glide path. Check your avionics documentation. Check your pilot operating handbook supplements. If your aircraft logbooks show a supplemental type certificate for a GWAS navigator, you're likely good. If you're not sure, ask your avionics shop before you fly into IMC and try to brief an LPV. Second, the approach must be in your database. And that database must be current. GWAS approaches require current nav data. An expired database means you're not legally current for the approach, and your navigator may not even display the correct minimums. Current databases, non-negotiable. Third, you need to brief the plate completely and know which set of minimums you're flying. This sounds obvious, but there is a common mistake, where pilots fly down to LPV minimums without confirming their navigator is actually driving an LPV glide path. Before you arrive at the final approach fix, your navigator should enunciate LPV, not LAVVNAV, not just GPS, LPV. If you do not see that enunciation, you are not flying to LPV minimums. This has real-world consequences. Continuing below LNAV minimums because you assumed you had LPV is how pilots fly into terrain they thought was below them. All right, let's go to KGPT Gulfport Biloxi International Airport, Mississippi Gulf Coast. Runway 18 runs south toward the Gulf of Mexico. The RNAV GPS Runway 18 approach gives you that LPV option, and the coastal environment makes this a great teaching example because you can get coastal fog, low ceilings, and conditions where precise minimums actually make a difference in whether you get in or not. When you brief this approach, you start the way you start any approach at the top. What is the approach name? What airport? What runway RNAV? GPS runway 18. Gulfport Biloxi International KGPT Airport elevation. Nearby obstacles. The communication frequencies across the top of the plate Gulfport approach. The tower frequency. Ground, know who you're talking to and when the handoffs happen. Then the plan view. That is the big overhead picture in the middle of the plate. Trace your route from where you will be in the system. Where are the initial approach fixes? What heading and distance is the final approach course? Runway 18 is heading 180. You're flying south. That tells you your final approach course, and it tells you your crosswind component and what drift correction to expect. Look at the transition. Know how you will get onto the approach. If you're arriving with approach control and radar contact, they will likely vector you to the final. If you're self-navigating, you need to know your entry point, your approach course intercept, and how to sequence yourself. The final approach fix. This is where the glide path officially begins. Know its name, know the distance from the runway threshold, know the altitude you should be crossing it at. On an LPV approach, crossing the final approach fix above the glide path means you have a descent to make up and you're already behind. Cross the final approach fix on glide path. That is the goal, from the final approach fix to the runway threshold at KGPT runway 18. The glide path takes you down on a standard 3-degree glide path, which is what most LPV approaches use. You're descending roughly 300 feet per nautical mile. That translates to approximately 5 feet per second at 90 knots ground speed, or roughly 500 feet per minute at that speed. Know your numbers before you cross the final approach fix, so you're not doing math in the clouds. Your navigator will give you both lateral and vertical deviation. On a modern glass panel, you will see it displayed like an ILS needle presentation. Center the needles, center them, and keep them centered. That sounds simple. It is not always simple, especially if you're fighting winds or if you rushed your configuration on the way down. Speaking of configuration, be fully configured for landing before the final approach fix. Gear down if you have it. Flap set, approach speed stabilized, checklist complete. If you're reaching for the gear handle inside the final approach fix on an LPV approach, you're already behind the aircraft. And at 250 feet decision altitude, being behind the aircraft is not a recoverable position. Descent rate management is your primary workload on the glide path. If you're above glide path, you need more descent. If you're below glide path, you need less. Small corrections. The WAS glide path is precise, which means full-scale deflection happens quickly. If you let the needles walk, a small deviation becomes a large one fast. Catch deviations early with small corrections, not late with large ones. This is where the discipline of instrument flying pays off. Scan. Attitude. Power. Trim. Outside references only when you're at decision altitude or below. Inside the final approach fix, you are an instrument pilot first and last. One technique worth mentioning. Treat the LPV glide path exactly like you would treat an ILS glide path, because it behaves like one. The sensitivity increases as you approach the runway. Lateral and vertical deviations that seem small 5 miles out become significant deviations near the threshold. Small needle movements require small corrections. Do not chase the needles. Fly the aircraft and let the needles come to center. Cross-check your altitude against the profile view. Crossing altitudes. If your glide path says you should be at 1,000 feet at a certain fix, and your altimeter says 800, something is wrong. Could be an altimeter setting error, a navigator database issue, or an equipment problem. Trust the cross-check. If you cannot reconcile the discrepancy, execute the missed approach and sort it out, with altitude and radar beneath you. Now you're approaching decision altitude. At your published minimums, you have one choice to make. Do you have the required visual references? Not just a glow of lights in the murk. The regulation requires specific visual references. The approach light system, the threshold, threshold markings, threshold lights, runway end identifier lights, the runway itself, runway markings, runway lights, a touchdown zone markings, or touchdown zone lights. If you have the required references and you can make a normal landing from your current position and attitude, you continue. If you do not have those references at decision altitude, you execute the missed approach immediately. The decision altitude is not a suggestion. It is the point at which the approach ends, and either the landing begins or the missed approach begins. There is no hovering at decision altitude to take another look. There is no continuing below minimums to see if maybe the runway will appear. That is how pilots and passengers do not come home. At minimums, go or go around. That is the rule. That is the discipline of IFR flight. If you're executing the missed approach at KGPT runway 18, your plate tells you exactly what to do. Read it before you fly it. Brief the missed approach as part of your full approach briefing. Climb, heading, altitude, what fix you're going to, what you do when you get there. Many pilots brief the approach down to minimums and mentally skip the missed approach because they expect to land. Brief the missed approach every time. Every approach. Let's cover a few things that specifically trip pilots up on LPV approaches. The database expiration. If your navigator's database is expired, you cannot legally fly the approach to LPV minimums. Some navigators will still show you the approach, but with elevated minimums or reduced authorization. Know your equipment. Check your database before the flight, not at the final approach fix. The enunciation. Before crossing the final approach fix, confirm your navigator shows LPV active, not LNAV, not just ARM, LPV. If you do not see it, do not fly to LPV minimums. The barometric altimeter versus the GWAS glide path. Both should agree at known crossing altitudes. If they diverge significantly at a published fix, something is wrong. Most commonly, it is an altimeter setting error. Always set the current altimeter when you receive ATIS or when approach control gives it to you. An incorrect altimeter setting can put you below the published glide path without you realizing it until you are in terrain configuration and stabilization. Get stable early. The GPS approach is precise, but it does not do the flying for you. If you're still reconfiguring past the final approach fix, the approach is not going well. Better to execute the missed approach. Get established and fly a second approach from a stable, configured, briefed position and decision altitude discipline. The instrument approach is designed around one requirement, that at decision altitude you are either visual and able to make a normal landing or you go around. Do not talk yourself into continuing the glide path and the minimums protect you down to decision altitude. Below that, you're on your own. This is what Bold Method captures well in their coverage of this approach, and it is worth saying out loud. The discipline of flying precision approaches is not just about procedures. It is about mindset. Every step from the brief and cruise to the go-around decision at minimums is a systematic process that removes ambiguity from the most demanding phases of flight. LPV approaches have given general aviation pilots access to minimums that used to belong exclusively to airline crews at Category 1 ILS airports. Use that capability, but use it with the full proficiency it demands. If you are current on instrument approaches but have not specifically practiced LPV procedures recently, get with a certificated flight instructor in actual IMC or under the hood and fly a few. The fundamentals transfer directly from ILS. But the avionics verification steps, the enunciation requirements, the glide path sensitivity on approach, those are worth a refresher before you need them for real. KGPT Runway 18 is a solid approach to study because it is a coastal airport with real weather. The Gulf Coast can go IFR fast. If you fly in that region or in any coastal environment, the difference between flying to LNAV minimums and LPV minimums might be the difference between getting in and diverting 2 hours away. Information today comes from Approach and IFR Technique coverage by Bold Method, more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower, keep the needles centered.